For sure. Then the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 3.
Beloved Bhagwan, after Hayakujo had become a master in his own right, he asked Obaku where he had come from. Obaku said, from gathering mushrooms at the foot of Mount Dayu. Did you see the tiger there? Asked Hayakujo. Obaku roared like a tiger. Hayakujo lifted up his axe and made as if to chop him down. Obaku gave Hayakujo a slap. Hayakujo sang out and laughed and went back to his seat. To the monks he said, at the foot of Mount Dayu, there is a tiger which you positively must see. Your old Hayakujo has just had a word with him. On another occasion, it was snowing, and the monk in charge asked Hayakujo to give a sermon. Hayakujo said, falling in flakes, the color scheme and pattern are complete. Why must I go to the hall and preach?
Life has never been. Taken with such ecstasy, joy and bliss as sin has been. The common religions of the world, Hinduism or Christianity, Mohammedanism or Jainism, they are all too serious. And their seriousness keeps them imprisoned into words, into theory, into philosophy. Their seriousness does not allow them to laugh, to sing, to dance, to be merry. They have spoiled the whole humanity. They have destroyed the laughter of every child who has born. It seems there is something in laughter of which our so-called society is afraid. It is afraid because laughter is going to expose its hypocrisy. Then you will see laughter anywhere. It is happening all around, but the society has forced you to be insensitive to it. Now look just by the side of Manisha, a gorilla is sitting. Gorilla, sir, will you stand up? Soon it is going to be very difficult. If tigers and gorillas hear you, they are bound to hear. It is natural that there is a place where they can be respected. After Hayakujo had become a master in his own right, he asked Obaku where he had come from. Obaku said, from gathering mushrooms at the foot of the mountain Dai. Did you see the teachers, the tigers there? Asked Hayakujo. Obaku roared like a tiger. Hayakujo lifted up his axe and made as if to chop him down. Obaku gave Hayakujo a slap. Hayakujo sang out and laughed and went back to his seat. To the monks he said, at the foot of Mount Dayu there is a tiger which you positively must see. Your old Hayakujo had just had a word with it. So playful, so childlike, so non-serious, so alive is the approach of Zen. It is perfectly well for tigers and lions and deer to come to this gathering. They will appear. This gorilla is going to spread the news. Gorilla sir, please be silent. Although it is not your way, neither it is in your nature, but please don't start gossiping about this temple. We don't want tigers and lions because we don't have a space. Just wait a little. Once we have got bigger space, we will be getting, then you can bring all the gorillas. You must be having friends, wife, children. a gorilla does not believe in celibacy. He is not a Catholic man. And having few gorillas here dancing with you will be a real joy. Today, you will have to be satisfied only with one. But when one comes, the second is behind him coming on. Just few miles from here, there is an ancient lake, Taloba. Deep in the forest, its beauty is its deer. Thousands of deer just you have to be there at the time when sunset, because at the sunset those thousands of deer come to the lake. Just to have a drink. The beauty is, as it becomes darker, you will be puzzled. Their eyes shine like candles. As if thousands of candles are moving all around the lake in queue. I would love every species to be represented here. But unfortunately, there is not much space. And when such great people like gorillas start coming, they are your forefathers. Be respectful. This is not me, but Charles Darwin is speaking. This story about Hayakujo when he became a master in his right. When one becomes a master in his own right, when one dissolves, when one is no more, but just a pure energy, a space. Nothing is written in this space, no scriptures, no sermon. There exists only one book in the whole world literature which can be called religious. It belongs to the Sufi tradition. For 1,000 years, it has been given from master to his successors. The first master who had it, Jalaluddin Rumi, is not surpassed by any other Sufi. He is the only man who was called Mevlana. Mevlana means master of masters. He had this book. Nobody knows from where he got it. But he will not show it to anybody. He will not take it out. He kept it hidden under his pillow. And whenever he moved anywhere, he kept the book with himself. The disciples asked, and he had hundreds of disciples, that why don't you say anything about this scripture? And he always said, it is impossible to say anything about this scripture. Ask about anything but not about this scripture. It is a religious scripture. They said, if it is a religious scripture, then it should be given to us so that we can understand what religion is. Rumi said, you will get it only when I die. Wait. When he became old and was on his deathbed, rather than being shocked that their master is dying, they were all curious that sooner he dies, we can take out the book from underneath his pillow. Alive he will not alive. He will not allow. Rumi died. Nobody bothered about him. They rushed and took out the book and opened the book, and this was a greater shock than Rumi's death. The book was empty. They turned every page. Perhaps somewhere something is written, but from the beginning to the last, it must be 300 pages, just empty, nothing is written in them. And Rumi used to say to them that this is a religious scripture. Perhaps this is the only religious scripture. To become a master in your own right means to dissolve like snowflakes into the thin air of silence. It's still a certain space will remain throbbing within you. That is your truth. That is your veil. And to jump from your body, from your mind, to that inner space, unspoiled, untraveled, untrodden by anybody, you have taken the quantum leap. This quantum leap makes you a master in your own right. Hayakuju asked Obaku where he had come from. Obaku said, from gathering mushrooms at the foot of Mount Dayu. Zen has a special language. I have been insistently reminding you that don't take these words as ordinary. They belong to a different kind of consciousness. When how could you ask where from you are coming? He is asking, do you have a beginning? If you have a beginning, then you will have an end. They come together. He is asking Obaku not about the place from where he is coming, but the space in which he is. Did you see the tiger there as Hayakuja? Obaku roared like a tiger. I don't know whether this gorilla can give a good gorilla shout. Don't make our friend Manisha. Be a gentleman. It is a question of dignity and respect of gorilla culture. Anyway, everybody is happy that you have come. I hope you will give a dance too in the end. So get ready. Obaku roared like a tiger. Hayakuju lifted up his axe and made as if to chop him down. Obaku gave Hayakuju a slap. This is a strange dialogue. But both have recognized each other, their mastership. Hayakuju sang out and laughed. He has been slapped by a stranger. Rather than replying him, he went out, sang and laughed, and went back to his seat. To the monks he said, at the foot of Mount Dayu, there is a tiger which you positively must see. Your old Hayakuju has just had a word with him. He informed to his disciples that Obaku has also become a master in his own right. He has given the lines to road. On another occasion, it was snowing, and the monk in charge asked Hayakujo to give him a sermon. Hayakujo said, falling in flakes, the color scheme and pattern are complete. Why must I go to the hall and preach? The falling snow at the sound of it, the dance of it, the peace that it brings and the coolness that comes through it. The sermon is going on. Without any words, these snowflakes are already saying it. What is the need of me to go to the seat and to give you a sermon? If you have eyes, ears, if you have your senses open, from every corner, from all directions, the sermon is coming to you. Just you have to be silent enough to feel it, to touch it, to taste it. It is not a word, certainly. It is utterly living, dancing silence. When Obaku slept Hayakujo, do you see the response? If somebody slaps you, are you going to dance and laugh? If somebody slaps you, if you are stronger enough, you will give him a good slap in return. And if you are a weaker one, you will turn your tail down and escape. A Christian missionary was teaching. His whole teaching consisted of few things in which this statement of Jesus was always present. If somebody slaps you on one cheek, give him the other two. And he has been preaching for years, and the statement is clear. But one day, a man stood up and slapped the missionary on one of his sides. The missionary, for the first time, was in a trouble. He could not understand what kind of person is this. But according to his own teaching, he has to be consistent, so he gave him another cheek, thinking that he should be kind enough, but that man was bound to test the missionary whether he is saying a truth on his own or just a borrowed thing. He slept more hardly. But now the story turns completely upside down. The missionary jumped over the man and started beating him. The man said, "What are you doing? Have you forgotten your sermon?" He said, "Jesus has said only about turning your cheek one time. That is finished. Now, come on. Man to man. Hell to Jesus. You have slapped me twice. I will kill you." That was only a sermon. It does not matter that you have to practice it. It is a beautiful statement. It was snowing, and the monk in charge asked Hayakuyo to give a sermon. In the first place, Zen does not have any sermon. Neither it has any commandments, no discipline, no rules. It is a very unique style of living, so that you can come in contact with the divineness of existence itself. Jews have 10 commandments. Perhaps you know why 10 commandments. Because at that time, it is 4,000 years from here, men used to count on the fingers. 10 is the ultimate figure. Then there is repetition. 11, 12, you are repeating another set of 10. You can go on repeating as many sets of 10, but you cannot go beyond 10. 10 is the basic, because men learned arithmetic by counting on the fingers. The story is that God created the world and went around asking the Babylonians, Egyptians, Arab, a single question: do you want a commandment? They all ask, what is that commandment? Of course, first we want to know what it is. In darkness, we are not going to take anything. And when he said, simple, never, never look at another woman. Avoid all kinds of corruption. The Babylonians said, then what else we should do? The whole joy of life will be gone. Keep your sermon with yourself. Egyptians simply did not ask, what is that sermon? They simply said, go ahead. Find somebody else. Why we should take any sermon or any commandment? We are enough unto ourselves. God was very sad. He has made these people and they are not ready to accept even a single sermon, a single commandment. Finally, he asked Moses, would you like to have a commandment? And God forgot completely that a Jew responds differently from anybody else. Moses did not ask, what is the commandment? He asked, how much it costs? God said, absolutely free. Moses said, then why? One. I will have 10. Poor Jews are carrying those 10 commandments, and from those 10 commandments, Christians have borrowed. Mohammedans have borrowed. It seems there is some necessity in man that says to him that unless somebody else guides you, you will be lost. So he is always seeking some guidance. Without knowing the simple fact that in this world advice is the only thing which is given and never taken. You cannot become wise by asking wise people. The only way is to hear very closely the heartbeat of existence. the poor Holy Pope goes and kissing airports everywhere around the world. I would suggest him, rather than kissing, please hear. Put your ears to the airport. That way perhaps you may hear something. What about kissing? Of course, everywhere the taste is different. In India, he tasted Hinduism for the first time when he tasted the cow dung. And stupid behavior, but it is thought that he is very humble. It is not true. Just few days before, my secretary has brought that he was in Brazil. Although the country is Catholic, 80% Catholic, but this is all formality. In Greece, I asked my sannyasins, how many people are Catholic? They said, almost everybody is Catholic, 92%. And I asked, how many people go to the church? They said, only 4%. I said, are those 4% living or dead? Who are these 4%? They said, mostly old women who have nothing else to do. And the world wants to get rid of them. It is only the priest who pays attention to them, because for that he gets the salary. That is his ideal. He does not bother whether they hear or can hear. That is not important. He delivers the sermon. It is a profession. But in these professions, you will not find the truth. You will have to come closer to nature, not by touching airports, kissing airports. I have never read in any scripture that kissing airports is a religious duty. And this Polak Pope thinks that this way he shows his humbleness. Anando, my secretary, has brought the news that Polak was very much interested in Brazil, but very few people came to receive him on the airport. where 80% people are Catholic, very few people came to receive him. He was very angry. He asked the Prime Minister of Brazil that what is the matter? Why such a small group of people has come? This is not humbleness. And he is wasting so much money. Each tour, and in a year he has 3 or 4 times tours to different countries. Each tour wastes $8 million. Because people have to be brought to receive him. Everybody is in his own business. Unless you give a $10 note, because of this fellow, for the first time, Vatican is under debt. Otherwise, it was the richest religion in the world. But $30 million per year had to be wasted. And what do you see? You see Pope kissing the earth. This seems to be a totally new way to connect directly with God. When I say come in touch, I don't mean that you start kissing the earth. I mean become more sensitive to everything that universe is consists of. Open all your doors, drop all your fears and paranoia, and let the existence come like breeze dancing in you, laughing in you, and you will know what cannot be said. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, your voice is like a lifeline through the discourse, leading us into our gibberish infinity and then retrieving us, taking us unto our stillness, being there in our death and calling us back to resurrection and celebration. I have heard it said that the Master leaves the disciple at some point and that ultimately one has to go by oneself. But you seem to be traveling with us into such intimate territory, walking so closely with us. And I have the feeling more and more that you are not leaving me but meeting me. Manisha, you are right. You can leave me, but I will follow like a shadow wherever you go. I will haunt your heart. I will come in your dreams. I will meet you in different places. Wherever five sannyasins will be meditating together, the sixth, I will be present. It is a promise. This must be Sardar. After the meeting, Sardar Gurdayal Singh, you have to encounter the gorilla who is sitting behind Manisha. In fact, he should sit behind you. Don't provoke him. He can be dangerous. But Sardar cannot resist. He laughs wholeheartedly without bothering whether it is time for laughter or not. Now for Sardar Gurdayal Singh and for our guest, the gorilla, if he can understand, if he cannot understand, at least he can understand your laughter. Captain Fearless, the infamous pirate, is standing on the deck of his ship, the Dirty Duck, that is the name of the ship. When the lookout calls, Italian merchant ship ahead, Fearless calls his cabin boy and says, bring me my red coat. We are going into battle. Soon the Italian ship is overpowered, and that night there is a feast of spaghetti and garlic. The next day, Captain Fearless hears the cry, three German merchant ships ahead. Fearless calls for the cabin boy, bring me my red coat. He cries, we are going into battle. Soon the German ships are captured. And that night, during a feast of beer and sausage, the cabin boy asked, "Excuse me, Captain Fearless, sir, but why do you always ask for your red coat before battle in case I am wounded?" Cries Fearless, "Then my man won't see the blood and become disappointed or disheartened." The next day the lookout cries, "A fleet of English warships ahead." Fearless turns to the cabin boy and whispers, "Bring me my brown tent." Sidney and Sadie have had a lover's quarrel and they have not seen each other for 2 days. Sadie is sitting moodily, staring out of the window when the phone rings. It is Sidney. "I am coming over to your house tonight," he says. "Ah, no, you are not," snapped Sadie. "And I am going to throw you on the bed," Sidney announces. "Ah, no, you are not," says Sadie. "And I am going to tear off your clothes," says Sidney, "and make love to you." "Ah, no, you are not," says Sadie. "And," says Sidney, "I am not even going to wear a condom." "Ah, yes, you are," says Sadie. It is raining one afternoon, so Virgil, the ventriloquist, goes into a bar. As he opens the door, a stray dog pushes past him, nearly knocking him over, and then it goes to sit down near the bar. Virgil sits on a bar stool near the dog and orders a drink. When he serves, Virgil looks at the dog and then asks the bartender if he is interested in buying a talking dog for $500. The bartender laughs at the idea, but then the dog says, "Please, mister, please buy me. This man is so mean to me. He does not look after me and he never feeds me." The bartender is shocked. "Did you say you wanted $500 for him?" He says, "Why do you want to sell him? I hate liars," replied Virgil. Taking a drink, the bartender hands over $500 and Virgil gets up and goes towards the door. "So long, you ungrateful creature," he says to the dog. The dog looks up. "Ungrateful? Is it?" stage the dance? Well, just for that, I am never going to speak again. Rupesh gives the first drum. Close your eyes and gather your whole being in. This is the quantum leap from mind to no mind. This space is you, and this moment is your only time. In these two words, here and now, the whole religion is complete. Lupe grips the drum. You fall dead. Utterly dead. I'm not saying you to stop your breathing. Your body can go on breathing. You be in, deeper and deeper in. The last drum, everybody has to come back to life. This is resurrection. One special beach for the guest gorilla. No rupees. Gorilla cannot understand it. Do it totally. Okay, can we celebrate now?